excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
If we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best of
friends. Moron, your bus is leaving.
Welcome to this Ohio State edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford reporting to you, well, already back home this time. I forgot to put the headset and the recorder in the car before heading to the game today. So we'll have to do it once already back at the bunker. Let's start with a quick recap. Things could not have started more poorly for the Bears. They 3-and-out on their first possession to open the game and give up a 90-plus yard touchdown pass. They then give the ball back up again and give up another big run, followed by another big touchdown pass. Then the Bears manage to fumble the ball when Goff is sacked, and yet a third touchdown pass. This one, more of a march down the field where we've slowed them. So 6 minutes into the game, the Bears are down 21-0, and it is looking like the worst possible game. At the rate they were scoring at the beginning, the final score would have been 210-0 because they scored 21 points in 6 minutes. And the Bears got the ball to start the game. Luckily, from that point, things changed pretty significantly. The Bears got a pretty lucky play of their own, which went for a 61-yard touchdown pass. And after Ohio State got a field goal, Cal scored another touchdown before the end of the first quarter to make it a 24-14 game. Ohio State scored one touchdown in the second quarter, and Cal put up two field goals, making the halftime score 31-20. And all of a sudden, with the Bears having slowed the Ohio State offense to at least a reasonable pace, it looked like if the defense could stiffen some more and the offense could get just a little bit more going, the Bears could actually make a game of it. Unfortunately, Ohio State opened the second half like good teams do. They put away, they cleaned up their mistakes, had decisive drives to stretch the lead to 38 and then 45-20. The Bears managed to get a couple more touchdowns before the end of the game to make the final score 52-34 Ohio State, but the reality was it was put away by midway in the third quarter. And I left the game a little bit confused of what to think. The opening is just inexcusable. I really have a tough time understanding why our defensive coordinator is so incapable of recognizing up till that moment what was going wrong. He continued to put his corners on islands, and they just kept getting beat. The second touchdown of the game, I knew what the play was going to be before it was even snapped, and you could just see it developing, and the corner had no hope, and it was an easy touchdown. And if it continued like that, I would have been full of denunciations and all downside on the defense. But I must say that despite being a bit outmatched, something happened on the defense after that, and they came alive. In the first place, they definitely gave up on putting the corners on islands. And so maybe that's what it took for Buh to recognize the stupidity of his strategy in the first three games. Maybe he just finally realized something there. But it also felt like a lot of other things started going right. The defensive line started to get some pressure, be a little bit more disruptive. There were still a number of the same problems that I talked about in last week's podcast of players getting tripped up and Ohio State did an amazingly good job on its sweep plays of sealing off the edge, and I don't think that was entirely just their doing, but also poor defense on the part of the Bears, of outside linebackers not positioning themselves and not getting around blocks, the corners not getting off of their blocks from the wide receivers, things that were still there and still definitely contributed to Ohio State being able to continue put up points. But generally speaking, it didn't look that bad. I mean, the final score, 52-34, if you take away the 21 points to start the game, actually the Bears, you know, had more points. Now, obviously, I think no matter what, Ohio State wins this game, even if we didn't spot them 21. but they definitely, I mean, you know, if you look at it a different way, they played 54 minutes of the game and only gave up, 31 points, which is still a sizable total compared to, you know, the first 6 minutes when they gave up 21. So I saw some potential out of the defense. I'm not going to go so far as to say they played well, but they played at least a little bit better. Ohio State is still a pretty good team. Their execution was very clean. Their backup quarterback is a very good backup quarterback. I don't know that Braxton Miller would have done much better. I really don't know enough about their dynamics to know if one's a better passer than the other or whatnot, but the backup quarterback did a good job. There were a few passes that he missed that an exceptional QB would have made, but overall he played a strong game. And this wasn't a case where you could say, oh, if there wasn't a backup quarterback, they really would have killed us. Because he was a competent quarterback. He did a good job. So there's definitely some things to work on. But it did seem like something came alive on the defense. Something finally clicked. A lot of it seems to be scheme. But also it seems maybe the players finally kind of got out of a certain rut. I don't know. It came 3 touchdowns too late. But we'll see. Maybe this will be a bit of a turning point for the defense, and God knows we need it to be. But there was some potential there. Offense, to be honest, there was a lot of positives. It was nice to see them move the ball, put points up against a quality team. They were doing a good job of mixing things up. Goff, although still very, very good and still very, very mature and doing a wonderful job for a true freshman, some of his mistakes seem to be showing them. His youth seems to be showing itself a little bit more. The in particular one that stood out to me was, you know, Cal went for the trick play, I forget what you call it now all of a sudden, where the running back tosses the ball back to the QB, the flea flicker. They threw the flea flicker in the, you know, trying to, you know, spice things up after a turnover. And it just wasn't there. Ohio State read it beautifully. They had the wide receiver bracketed down the field, and Goff still threw it into double coverage, and it was intercepted. And yeah, I mean, okay, he's a young quarterback. He makes young quarterback mistakes. That's, you know, to be expected. But the way he played, particularly in the Northwestern game, I wouldn't have expected him to make that glaring of a mistake. I mean, it was a pretty ill-advised pass. So there's definitely some youth to Goff. Obviously, the upside is remarkable. Obviously, the amount of mistakes he's making is nothing to complain about considering his youth, but it's there, and I think it's going to continue to hurt the team in little spits and bursts. There's going to be a game or two where it's, you know, really going to hurt us, and we might win otherwise, but that will have sunk us. So there's youth there, but he's learning. He's not making a lot of mistakes that he was making in other games, and I think he will continue to improve. So overall, very pleased there. The other thing I was a little bit pleased with was that after getting just dominated early, the offensive line seemed to come into its own. It seems like on both sides of the line, as the game wore on, they looked better. The offensive line started opening some holes for the running game. They weren't huge, but they were some. As I was talking about on defense, the defense started to get a little, defensive line started to be somewhat disruptive. So something seemed to click in this game on both in the trenches that bode well for the future if they can build off of it. Now maybe just Ohio State is not as good in the trenches as we'd like to believe, but I did see some positives there. The bigger positives I actually saw about the run game was the running backs were much more aggressive about cutting up field and about delivering the blow to the defense. In the first two games, they were always breaking to the outsides, always not trusting the holes, and always getting tackled by speedy defenders coming up. And this time, they were more likely to cut it up field, deliver a blow to a linebacker, and yeah, sometimes they wouldn't break free, but sometimes they would. And I really think that probably the work that's being done in practice is starting to bear some fruit there. I think they ran a lot better today. Lasko ran very well. It just felt like things were headed in the right direction for the rushing attack. Bigelow also seemed to do a pretty good job of cutting things upfield. And Muhammad, even though he didn't have a very big game, I saw some positives there. But at the same time, I feel like there's just something that isn't quite there and clicking on offense. I feel like there's some things going on that in the back of my mind are a little troubling to me. One, there seems to be a bit of bobbling going on, that the ball just seems to kind of get loose and float around just a little bit too much. And maybe as time goes on, maybe this new system, you know, those are the types of things that come with time. But again, I just feel like there's some precision lacking that's going to hurt us. Along the same lines, one of the things that supposedly, you know, important in this offense is the speed of play, the speed at which they are running the next play, and they do an awful lot of substitutions. And I know that they're trying to get in fresh bodies to keep things rolling, but it seems to be hurting their ability to run plays quickly. The referees are being very diligent about insisting on allowing the defense to make a response substitution to Cal's substitutions, and that's adding another 3-4 seconds to the time that we can run a play. It also is, I think, affecting the speed at which the offense would run it. It's costing us 2-3 seconds as those transitions happen before they come onto the field. So I don't know, maybe it's part of the system. We'll see as time goes on, but I just kind of feel like the speed of play is not that impressive and needs to get better if they're really going to deliver. To some degree, Ohio State outspeed of played the Bears today, and in a way that worked. I mean, they had two touchdowns that were fourth and goal at the 1 yard line, and both of them were because they got back up to the line quickly and ran the play quickly while the defense was practically still celebrating the stop on third down, which again is another one of those little things that was frustrating to see, of the lack of maturity on the defense, that, you know, was going to have to get better. But I have not seen all that many plays where really the Bears have had that kind of pace, where it's been so fast that the defense really isn't able to get set and get ready. I've seen the type of speed where they're wearing them down, where it's just enough plays over a short enough period of time that the defense gets worn down. But I haven't seen it truly where the defense is unprepared for a particular play. And I think that's particularly important because it feels to me like the game is changing in a way where, pretty much with those marginal injuries, the defenses can react. There was one injury today for Ohio State that made me think they might have been stalling. And what made it particularly notable was the guy was writhing on the ground. He sat up, and then the trainer and the whoever were talking to him for like 90 seconds. They weren't doing any work on him. And sure, maybe they were checking for a concussion or all these sorts of things, but it feels like the current state of how the refs are interpreting the rules, there is no pressure to get these guys up and off the field. They're allowed to do a ton of evaluation on the field. And so all it takes is that one injury where somebody does something, and it can be a real injury. They don't have to fake an injury. But when you have this fast pace of play, the cramps come, the things come, and then all they have to do is sit there and talk to the guy for 2 minutes on the thing and wait for the referees to signal to go to commercial, which is exactly what happened in this particular case I'm referring to. And then 3 seconds after they make the sign to go to commercial, he pops up on his feet and goes off to the side. And that was the thing that made me suspicious about that play, is that, wait a minute, they were talking to him, and then all of a sudden we go to commercial, meaning there's going to be 2 more minutes, and then they get him off the field. So I just feel like while certain pace of play things can be done, it's not going to be as easy to force the issue with the way the rules are structured around timeouts and around injuries and all of those sorts of things. And so if it's just about wearing the other guy out, I don't know that it's going to be all that great. And it has the added effect of you're always putting your defense back on the field pretty dang quickly, which makes it really hard on the defense. It's very hard for them to be rested. It's very hard for them to make any adjustments because they don't have any time on the sideline to make those adjustments. You really are putting some stress on your defense. So it better bear some significant fruit. And I just don't feel like the pace of play is there yet. And all of the substitutions, I think, are hurting the ability of the offense to deliver that. So we'll see how things develop. But overall, I must say that I have some concerns around that. And despite the fact that I feel like the offensive line improved some today, I still don't feel like they are carrying their weight. They are still a young, weak offensive line. One of the things I did like is I saw the plays changing a bit to roll Goff out of the pocket to get him away from the pressure, and they're going to need to do more of that because there is not going to be a lot of time for him in the pocket. We're just going to get blown up at times, so we're going to have trouble rushing the ball without being creative. We're going to have trouble sitting in the pocket. And I think there's things the offense can do to work around that, but it's just not the greatest situation there. And despite some improvement on the defense, I still think this team is going to have to win games by outscoring the opponent. I don't think we're going to get to the point where the defense is going to win games this year. They may keep the Bears in games and the offense can win these games, but I don't think we're going to see any dominating defensive performances unless things change dramatically. Players who impressed me today, Harper has always been impressing me, but particularly today impressed me with his receiving, his speed, his ability to get out there and make things happen. Bryce Treggs had a beautiful catch. He let me down a little bit where he had another opportunity for a touchdown and kind of bobbled it as he was going down and it didn't count, but still always very impressed with him. Interestingly, even though Muhammad didn't have a lot of yards, as I said, there's something about the way he was operating that made me feel good things about him. Actually, Boehm, our fourth-string quarterback, impressed me a bit today with his running. I wonder if he can throw the ball. If we bring him in the Wildcat and he can't ever throw, I just don't think the Wild Bear, as we like to call it sometimes, I don't think it's ever going to bear any meaningful fruit. But if he can throw the ball once or twice, just enough to keep the defensive honest, he can sure as heck run the ball. And so I really was happy to see that. On defense, I think number 20, I'm forgetting his name, He seems to be coming along in the secondary. Nice to see that. Number three, also, and I should know his name, but continues to play well. He is our one corner that we can some degree count on to maybe and can put on an island on occasion. So some good things to see there. I will say this. The one thing that if there's a huge positive to take away from this game, it's that the Bears did not give up. I guarantee you the Tedford teams of the last handful of years would have completely mailed it in after those 21 points were scored. And that definitely did not happen. This team did not give up. If anything, it redoubled its efforts. And that was very encouraging to see. As the game wore on, you know, the wear of playing a very good team and having a big deficit hole to climb out of ended up dooming them. But the effort and the determination were there even when the chips were down. I like the fact that they were doing something like an onside kick and other things where clearly he was, you know, he was down 14, whatever, 18, 20 points. And he was still, you know, going into the fourth quarter and he was still trying to win the game. And by him, I mean Dykes, the head coach. He was doing things to try to win that game. And, you know, that inspires confidence in the team. That's what he says. We're not going to give up. And I expect my team not to give up. They definitely reflected that mindset even when the score was 21-0. And there was no reason for hope anywhere in that stadium. But they gave us hope throughout the game. So, looking forward, we've got Oregon on the schedule next. We've got a bye week here. Hopefully we get healthy in that time. Hopefully they can continue to improve in those areas that they've been so weak. A little bit of improvement on the offensive line would be great to see. Figuring out how to run the defense more effectively without putting the corners on islands would be nice to see. There's plenty to work on, and a bye week would give them a chance to do that. Unfortunately, I think it's a near impossible task to go up to Oregon and win in 2 weeks. Again, I'm going to be more looking for this team continuing to improve. Really, Ohio State, although a pretty good team, they are no Oregon. I'm sorry, I don't have a ton of respect for the Big Ten. They went 12-0 last year, and one of their toughest games was against our crummy 3-9 Bears. That says something. This team's supposedly number 4 in the land, and this young, rebuilding Bears hung with them far too easily. Now, there's a lot of good things about Ohio State. I'm not trying to overly push them down. They're definitely a top 10 type of team. But what's going on in the Big Ten these days is not all that impressive as a whole. And I think this Ohio State team is a lot more flawed, has a lot of talent, and it has pretty good discipline, but it overall is a lot more flawed, a lot more beatable team than the tops teams in the Pac-12 and in a number of other conferences. So Oregon is going to be an supremely tough challenge. But again, we're looking for improvement. We're looking for signs that they're moving in the right direction. And then after that, things get much more interesting because now we have games that the Bears need to start winning. It's one thing to go, you know, be 1-3 after this really tough stretch to open against two top five teams. And by the time that we're, you know, done with this tough stretch, what looks like a top 15 team in Northwestern. But you can delude yourself if you want to take a negative view. You can delude yourself into thinking that that's why Cal lost those games, that they're playing just elite talent and they're not there yet. Well, unfortunately, if the rubber hits the road, or fortunately, the rubber hits the road in the games that follow. And Cal needs to start winning some games. They can no longer accept any sort of moral victories when Washington State comes to town at the beginning of October and the games that follow after that. So, but I guess that gives them 3 weeks to keep improving before the rubber really has to hit the road. I mean, God, it would be awesome to see an upset in 2 weeks up in Autzen Stadium, but that's really asking for a lot. So I think I'm going to wrap it up with that. Thanks for listening, and go Bears.